So I'd like to talk tonight about a little bit of a continuation from what I was talking about earlier, but more of a sort of a part B or a second part to really how we open to what is, to life, to this moment. And each moment. And as we were talking about earlier, you know, the way that we, our usual way of meeting life and each moment is to find all kinds of distractions and ways of hiding, or to just run away in a sense. Not necessarily literally, although that happens too, but really more in ways such as, you know, there's an infinite number of ways, but we'll just name a few that are on the top of the list. You know, alcohol and drugs and food and shopping and TV, and it's just like anything can become. It's not like one is better or worse necessarily than any other, although some do more damage, of course, in the end. But they're all basically ways of getting away from things that we think, at least, are difficult. And certainly technology has both made it easier to get away, right? So there's so many little gadgets now. I mean, I watch my son and he has so much available to him that we didn't have when I was a kid. You know, all these video games, and there was nothing on TV, so we didn't watch TV. And when we did, it was like Lawrence Welk or Yeehaw. And so it like pushed us outside. The other part of that is technology has also created a lot more information. And so it seems like we're being bombarded more and more with more information. And most of it seems, is fairly negative. At the same time, I think that one of the things that seems to be beneficial about that is that we get to see what's happening in the rest of the world, really moment to moment in a lot of cases, and see the suffering that happens, and a lot of times because of things we've done as a society, as a culture, or things that other cultures have done that have a direct effect. But for the most part, I'm talking about how we escape from that in all these different ways. And of course, just internally, I mean, I've been sitting for many, many years, over 10 years, and practicing I would consider now that for the last 10 or more years that I've been more mindful than I was before that. In a sense, really noticing how I react to things, how my mind operates. And in the last 10 or so years, it's like every time that difficult emotions arise, it's always the same thing. There seems to be the mind becomes very active, right? And there's this immense amount of thoughts that arise that are trying to get rid of it, to find a way out. How do I get out of the situation? How do I find my way into a safer place? And all that time, you know, and one of the things is it's like a worrying. It's like an obsessive vigilance almost, an obsessive worrying that can happen. And I'm sure we've all experienced that. As soon as you start to see, you can just see the mind chattering away, trying, oh gosh, how do we get out of this? And in all this time, I don't believe ever once has any of that done any good or changed the situation. In fact, I think in all this time it only ever made it worse, because what you find is that a thought arises and emotions arise and then more thoughts arise, and it's a feeding frenzy in a sense. So there's a feeling in the body, let's say it's fear, and then the mind starts to create all these thoughts about how we can get out of this and how we can hide away in some way so that we don't have to deal with it. And I can't remember ever, I was thinking about that today, I can't remember it ever working. I can only remember it ever creating more thoughts and making them, you know, creating more emotion in the body. So it's something interesting to look at the next time that happens for you, and noticing that it just doesn't work. So the question is, how do we meet difficult emotions, difficult experiences, and just the pain, really, and joys, really just the ups and downs of life, which happened every day. There's just no way for us to get away from it. We think we're getting away, but again, we're just pushing things down, and we're trying to keep ourselves busy so that we don't have to experience it. The part of this that's interesting is that if we could just stop for a moment and allow things to be, we would find that they're not so scary, and that life becomes much richer and much more open and full when we can open, when we can accept things and surrender and meet them with more of an openness instead of an aversion or a closing down. So I'm just going to briefly go over a few things that I think that can help us really meet what is, and meet life in a more open and natural way. So that's really the key here for me. You'll hear me say that a lot. That's really, for me, the biggest insight in my life is really watching how nature works, really. And watching how that, and seeing that I and all of us are natural beings. And that if we can just, it's just this mind that creates this movement away from a natural way of being, an effortless way of being, feeling like it has to do something. It has to figure it all out, whether it's intellectual or through other means. So one of the first things I'd like to talk about is what I call a natural intention. And the thing about, we've had this discussion about intention before. And when I say intention, it's really an intention that arises in a natural way. If we just open, there are certain intentions that are very natural for us. If we all thought about why we're sitting here tonight, there's probably the same, in a sense, there's the same intention for all of us. This natural intention to come home, a natural intention to be free in some way, whatever that may be for you. A natural intention to be more fully alive, a natural intention to awaken the heart also. I mean, that's, for me right now, it seems to be where my practice is really opening more in a loving way to life and others and myself. And that arose for me when it was time. You know, and it's like we find, you'll just notice that we'll find the right book at the right time, or the right teacher at the right time, or something will come on TV, or someone will say something at the right time. And we just wonder, why, how does that happen? Or you read a book, and then you read it again years later, and it's a completely different experience, right? Let's go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, I put some thought into this. It's like intention implies that there's will. Like, I intend to have this happen. I'm going to make it happen. It's my responsibility to make this happen, so on and so forth. And so it seems to be like an oxymoron that intention can be natural.
Yeah, it's a very good question, and that's really what where I was going with this. And my teacher would say would ask the same question because it is sort of it's a bit dualistic, right? But in this case, in this talk, we're really speaking from more of a conditioned place, because let's face it, when we're running up against the wall, or we're caught in a storm, we're really caught in a conditioned state of mind, right? In a conditioned way. And the opposite, of course, of that is unconditioned, just an awareness that is completely allowing things to be as they are without preference. So when we're caught, which there's usually, we're caught for a reason, because we have a preference, right? It's a dualistic ideas about I don't like where I'm at, right? And I want to be somewhere else. So there's the dualism. There's the preference of not accepting where we're at now and wanting to be somewhere else. So the difference here, and of course we're still talking about a conditioned, yes, intention is a conditioned idea, right? And yet, There still are intentions. Maybe there's another word for that, but for me, there are things that arise, a deeper wisdom that arises when I'm open, when I'm allowing things to happen, when I'm living in the mystery. And what I noticed is there are sort of two kinds of intentions. There are those intentions, that arise from a place of fear, more from a place of greed, where something needs to be achieved, where there is something that needs to be overtaken, right? Those intentions when we're trying to get somewhere, we can just feel that. It feels a little bit more contracted. It feels closed. It feels tight. I got to do this, I got to do that, I want this. You can just feel that sort of tension. The kind of intention that I'm talking about here, this natural intention, is more of a warm, open, like a deja vu sort of thing that happens when you're just open. I mean, if I ask everyone here, what brought you here? If you looked back far enough, you would probably see that there was some sort of natural intention there somewhere. Something that just felt like, this is where I need to be tonight, or this is where I need to be at some point. And it brought you here. So it's a conditioned, in a way it's conditioned, but I really do believe there are two sort of intentions there. There is one that feels very tight and pushed and created, right? And then there is an intention. Maybe there's a better word for that. I don't know. But for me, it's I've always called it sort of. I mean, we could call it just creative intelligence, or just creativity. You know, you notice that a lot of things in life, bridges and buildings and art, starts here, right? It starts with some creative spark. It just arises. It just arises, you know? Who knows where it comes from? And then, of course, it becomes conditioned. The moment we have to paint it, the moment we have to think about what size it's going to be and how it will, what colors we're going to use, it starts to become conditioned. But that original moment is a very natural moment, I believe, that where that where that creativity comes from, that spark, that original place. So, so as far as just meeting each moment, that, that intention to, I mean, really what I'm talking about here is the intention to be free, the intention to live more openly, more fully, as a human being, just really being. So the second sort of what I'm calling natural presence, and these don't always, by the way, these don't always come in a row like this, right? It's not like they, it all happens this way. But for me, presence, whenever I find myself caught in really a storm of emotions or thoughts, to just, if there's a moment of awareness, to just be present, it brings you out of that. Even if it's just for a moment, it brings you out of that, that one-pointedness into that you had, you're, you know, completely attached to some emotion or a restlessness in the mind. Or when you're you know, driving along, let's use that for instance. You're driving along and you're late somewhere, and you, and as you're getting later and later, and you know you're going to be late to work or late to wherever you're going, there's a building up of emotion, right? A frustration, of anxiety, and you're caught. You're completely caught. But in a moment that you see, okay, I'm caught, and just a moment of presence can bring you right out of that. And that's a really wonderful place to start. You know, when we're caught like that, is just to be present, to look around. Okay, I'm in a car. I'm here in this moment. There's nothing I can do. I'm caught in traffic. Here I am. And it may last for a minute, a few seconds, and you may go right back into, but I'm late. And then, and that may go back and forth. But for me, presence is so beautiful. We can call it a tool if we want, but it's just so beautiful to notice the spaciousness of presence. And I was, as I was saying in the meditation, you know, there's that moment of presence, and then we can start to notice the breath arising and passing. We can notice sounds around us, and that just really brings us here. And things don't look as fearful. Things don't look as anxious when we're here. We just notice that, because we're not caught. We're not caught in that story. Now we're here, and because really what we notice is that most stories are either past or future, most of the time future. So if you're caught in your car and you're trying to get to work, you're really caught in the future, aren't you? For the most part, I'm trying to get to somewhere. If I don't get there, these are all these consequences that I'm assuming will happen. Right? They may or may not happen. But we're completely in the future, right? Or we may be in the past thinking, well, the last time I was late, we could like go back and forth and never be in the moment. Like, the last time I was late, this happened to me. And so if I don't get there on time, this will happen to me. So literally bouncing back and forth right over the present moment into future from the past, right? And then just a moment of, okay, here we are in this moment. What's happening now? What's truly happening now? I'm sitting in a car. There's nothing I can do. I'm not, you know, if I speed, there's a chance I get a ticket and I'm even later. Why not just let it go? Why not just let that go? I'll get there when I get there. I'll live in the mystery. The consequences will be whatever the consequences will be. There's nothing I can do about it in this moment. So, I mean, that's obviously one analogy for that type of, for, you know, being in a car. But it can work with everything. We just notice that we're caught. And that's usually what it feels like. It's like you're hooked, like a fish. If you just look from day to day, every time you feel like you're completely, you're caught in an argument with someone, or you're feeling like you've been taken advantage of, or whatever it may be, it's that you're caught. You're either caught in the past, or you're caught in the, in, or you're dreaming about the future. You're ahead of yourself. And then just that moment of presence, and here you are. And you can see that none of those things are true. The second part of being in presence is that when you find yourself in the present moment, the next thing that can happen is a natural inquiry. It's what I call natural wisdom or natural inquiry. And all that really means, it's just words, but all it really is just noticing what's happening from a place of presence, from just the place of awareness. Noticing how we're caught. Noticing, you know, if we're in an argument with someone, what kinds of emotions are arising in that moment. Not needing to know why, but more how it's happening. Why only gets you going, more thinking. But just really how that's happening. So that when it happens in the future, it may not happen. It may be that we pause because we see more clearly now. We've broken out the flashlight at this point, right? So in a sense, we're in the beginning of this, we're caught in a dark room, completely lost. We're bumping into things. We're in the future. We're in the past. We create a little presence. We just stop for a moment, right? We just stop. That's the presence. Just stopping. Just being here. And then the next thing is to have a little wisdom, a little inquiry come into this darkness. And that's this flashlight of wisdom, this flashlight of inquiry of what is happening now. That can be just a question that arises. What's happening now? And one of the things that I notice about being caught, as we were talking about earlier, being caught in what I like to call like a storm, because that's what it can feel like a lot of times, is I have been heard it called, so this isn't something I came up with, but it's been called the eye of the storm, eye in parentheses. And what that means is that if we look, again with that flashlight of inquiry, of wisdom, in that moment, we'll notice that there's an I, an ego, that's present, right? There's something that is going to lose, either gain or lose, or that needs to be defended. We'll just notice that that's happening. That's a sense of self, right? That's the small sense of self that's going to be, if it's late, it's going to be punished in some way or yelled at, or something from the past is making us feel defensive or whatever it may be. In that moment, seeing that there's an eye to the storm. And one of the ways that we can do that, which is also part of inquiry, is to sort of ask a checking question, I call them. Let's not even use that word, but asking a question, a question that is part of inquiry. And the question, let's use, for example, let's use fear, for example, because a lot of our difficult emotions that we're feeling in life, sort of the foundation feels like fear a lot of times, right? There's a fear, there's a anxiety, there's a contraction. And even anger, if we look deeply at anger, anger is a form of fear, right? Anger is a way of lashing out instead of, you know, that's that flight or fight. And that's the fight part of fear, is let me get away, or we find ourselves going the other way. But so we can look at anger and notice that that's part of fear. Go ahead.
It seems to me that if you look past the face of almost every negative emotion that we have, it's really fear.
Yeah, a lot of the time.
And I find the fear mantra from the Dune book series.
The who?
It's called the fear mantra.
Oh, okay.
I'll paraphrase it because I can't really say it. But it says fear is the mind killer, the little death.
Yeah.
And then it says, I will turn and face my fear, allow it to wash over me, pass through me, and when I turn and look behind me, only I will remain.
Yeah.
And I have found that very effective as sort of like a little meditation to get past.
Yeah, so that's wonderful. Thank you. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. And that's the next thing I was about to say, was that that's part of this checking question or a mantra. So for me, for a long time, I would use, and of course, this is something that arises for you that you feel comfortable with. But for me, when it came to fear, there was always the first question that would arise for me would be, am I really in danger? Where's the danger? And if I'm in the present and I look around, I'm just sitting here. There's a tremendous amount of emotion going on inside, energy, you know, fear. But look, there's nothing that's attacking me. I'm fine. So there's where the wisdom comes in. So there's a moment of wisdom because there's a question or a mantra. Another question that I used to use would be for fear would be something like, who is afraid? And when I looked for the person that was afraid, I couldn't find anything. Right? Or maybe even, what is fearful? What am I afraid of? And when you look, it almost always just dissolves because there's nothing really there. It's because we're caught in the future or the past, inside really of an illusion of fear, right? Illusion that we're in some sort of danger, that we're caught. That's the reason we're caught. At the moment we find ourselves in the present moment, if that's possible, and then the next step is to create some inquiry, allow some wisdom to arise, to break out that flashlight. And that, of course, it can be a mantra or a question. And that can be, this is a creative thing. So for you, it may be fear. It may be love, right? It may be that when you get close to someone you love, there arises a real contraction. And then there can be, what am I afraid of? What is there to be afraid of? What is... you know, it's for you. It's a creative thing. I mean, I can keep going, but we could just keep going with that. So we'll move on. But you can get the idea of this is just another tool that it really, and you can see they're progressing. So of course, without presence, it's really difficult to have wisdom or inquiry, right? Because we're still lost at that point, right? We're still completely caught in a storm of I, a storm of emotion, a storm of thoughts, and at that point awareness has disappeared. It's still there, it hasn't gone anywhere. It never goes anywhere. You know, presence isn't ever gone anywhere. It's just that we're lost in that moment. And then a moment of presence comes, and there we have this wonderful capacity, this wonderful possibility to see more clearly. And that's what the practice of meditation is about. That's what the spiritual practice is about. for me, for a lot of others, is to see more clearly. When we see more clearly, there's more freedom, there's more openness, and we're not trapped, right? You know, and something I just wanted to bring into this, at this point in the, and this one sort of comes in at different places, but for me, another thing that has been really helpful is really an allowing too. So there are different ways in which I'm going to talk about this, but more a real allowing, more of a courageous allowing for me, like the lion in the, it always reminds me of the lion in the Wizard of Oz in the end when he has that, when he's given this gift and he really wasn't giving anything, he just, his mind changed, right? And he realized he was courageous. Oh, I'm courageous, you know. That I always remember that as a kid, because when I was afraid, and I was a lot when I was a kid, I was remembering that lion, just that moment. And I realized that wizard hadn't really given him anything. It's just that he thought, his illusion changed, that he wasn't courageous. He always was courageous. And we are always courageous. We always have that capacity to just stand still to whatever difficulties life presents us and be courageous. It never has left us. We've always had it. And so it's more of an allowing. There's an allowing, as you were saying, letting it wash over us, whatever it may be, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, just letting it completely burn up, as we've mentioned before. You're completely allowing yourself to burn up in emotion, burn up in an experience, and that is just so amazing, so freeing, because it does, it washes over you, and we realize that it's just part of this flow of life that we're experiencing every moment. So so a gentle courage, I call it, a gentle way of being. And to just move on to the next way of being for me, and this one really mixes in everywhere, is a loving presence. Is a loving presence. Now, the moment I say this, a lot of us are saying, well, I don't have that. What is that? What is that loving presence he's talking about? Way of being with ourselves and others in the world in a very open, loving way. And for most of us, that seems like a really difficult thing to do. But there is a really beautiful way that I have found to awaken what has never been unawake. And it's, you know, it's really called like an awakened heart. And it's just that we've closed down and we don't believe or realize that we have this amazing capacity to hold anything that arises in this body or anything that comes, that comes in an external way, whether it be a relationship, parenting, the death of someone, our own aging, our own sickness, our own suffering, our own pain, our own love and joy that arises. To be able to open to that with a loving, and not love in the Hollywood way, but love in the sense of boundless openness. So, and I'm going to be talking about this the next couple of weeks, so you're going to hear it more. But I always noticed that I saw people like the Dalai Lama, and I read people about, you know, reading about Buddha and Jesus and Thich Nhat Hanh and Gandhi and some of these other people that really had this, you know, you would just look at them or you would just read about them, and you would just feel so open in their presence, right? I mean, it could even be a cat. It could be a pet that you have, or a child. It doesn't matter. It could be just being in nature. You feel this loving presence, this openness. And you say, wow, I was in nature and I felt, and nature gave me this loving presence. Or I was with the Dalai Lama or this person and they made me feel completely loved, completely, you know, it was like they were completely accessible, right? You felt that from people or animals, completely open, not pushing away, not pulling, just like a vessel that's able to be entered into. And I had this experience many times in nature, with animals, with spiritual people that I had read about and experienced firsthand, touching and being with. And the most beautiful insight arose for me one day that it wasn't them. They certainly had awoken something in me, but I was experiencing it. And I realized in that moment that I had the capacity to love, completely open to anything. That I had that same capacity that I thought was really coming from this person, but it was happening in this body. And it was the most amazing. And as the moment I realized that, I realized it was me. And then it was just this wonderful feeling that came over me of being able to open to my own difficulties and the difficulties of others. And I invite you to look at that the next time you feel that. Or maybe right now, just realizing that all this time you believed that it was someone else that was creating the love in you, that was creating the openness in you, but it's not. It certainly can be awakened by another being or nature, but it's you that's feeling it. It's you that's experiencing it. How can it be anything but you? Right? So, this is a wonderful tool. This is a wonderful way, and it's part of that courage again, that gentle courage of just being able to open, in the beginning, just our own emotional self. When we close our eyes and we feel uncomfortable, just opening to that. When we're around another person, a loved one, or one of our children or something, or just someone at work that we feel uncomfortable, just seeing if we can open in that way. Yes, I am loving. I just didn't know it. I just had forgotten that I was open, that I was loving. And seeing if we can experience life in more of that, in that loving way. And of course, we'll be talking about this next week during our Metta. So just to finish up here, of course, in meditation, we already pretty much have talked about that, and all of these come into meditation as well. And as I said earlier, how we meet experience in our sitting tends to be how we meet our experiences in the world, in life. It's just that there's a lot more awareness when we're sitting, which is wonderful. So we get to see how we're meeting, and because our internal world is really the same, right? You think that all those things out here, that my voice is happening over here, you think that all these things are happening out there, but it's all happening in here. So how you meet this, whether your eyes are open or closed, is the same. Right? It makes no difference. So meditation, just sitting, as we call it, just being in an effortless way, taking the time out each day is a wonderful way to create that pause before we react, to really build the muscle of mindfulness, of being able to step out of the storm of I, being able to step out of the storm of emotion that we find ourselves in, or just that we find ourselves being very aversive towards towards another person or a situation. Meditation can help us. It happens naturally as we sit. Something happens. And that something is that being able to pause, being able to be more present when it comes time to when we need that, when we get lost. So some of the different ways, by the way, just wanted to end with this. Some of the different ways that we can open to difficulties in life and mostly in internal emotions. It's not just meditation. We can certainly, there are different ways, like journaling is wonderful. Yoga, I'm loving it. I love it. I really do. It's something I've always done yoga, but recently I've experienced it more as a way of really letting go of the energy that we hold in the body. A lot of it toxic from years ago. You can just, you know, it's like a meditation. It's a way of really squeezing out in the most loving way a lot of energy that gets stuck in the body. So on a physical level, on a body level, yoga, just I'm just loving what the capacity of that. Being in nature, a wonderful way if you find yourself completely caught. Just one of those days, you know those days, you just walk out and you just sit outside and there's something just boundless about that that makes you not feel so contracted. And then you have that possibility of being present again and inquiring and seeing what's happening, not trying to run away, not going outside or doing yoga or meditation or any of these things or reading books because you're trying to get away. That's the same story, right? But because we were learning how to be more open, we're learning how to meet this life. And when we can do that, life becomes, again, more full, more open. So I will I'll leave it right there and appreciate you guys coming. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Be safe. Have a good week and